The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this week we hear from Jeremiah. He, like Isaiah and Hosea and Amos, is called to bring God's message to the world about the world. These prophets are not talking about how to get to heaven. They're talking about how to make the world an inhabitable place. Jeremiah's ministry parallels Jesus' ministry in really stark ways. They both warn about an invasion. They both say the city and the temple will fall if people don't listen to them. And they're both maltreated. So Jeremiah, in chapter 1, records this experience he has as a young man. His family was their priest, and they're in Josiah's time during the reforms. So it's a heady time for them. Things are looking better. The pagan stuff's kind of getting moved out. And the Lord comes to Jeremiah and says, before you were born, I knew who you were. That's the interesting thing. And we had, this is not the easiest pregnancy, right? I mean, we did some real praying. And so before that child was born, before any child is born, they're already in relationship with God. And God picked out this particular fella to be a prophet to the nations. And he responds the way so many do, especially in the Jewish Bible. He says, "I don't think that's a great idea." He says, "I'm awful young." Moses says, "I can't speak Hebrew." "I don't speak Hebrew." These are the giants of the faith. Their response to God's call is, "Nah, I don't think so." And so God says to him, "Don't be afraid." The universal message of the entire Bible is that we address our fear. And our fear comes from not trusting God. And he says, "I am with you." And that's the source of our fear. Either we're afraid to have God with us because we're afraid we're so bad and he's so mad, or afraid that he doesn't notice and doesn't care about us at all. Jeremiah will have a remarkable ministry focused on salvation as a nationwide phenomenon. And that all of us are impacted. So if you're thinking that's too impersonal, you may have heard that there's like talk about nuclear war. Like, if a nuclear bomb hits Memphis, are you going to say, "Well, that's so impersonal. I want something meaning. I want them to come shoot me personally." When you take out a group, every individual's part of it. Salvation is for all the nation, and it affects everyone. And I want to emphasize this because the modern world is hyper-individualistic. And most Christians would think the message of the Bible is, how do I get into heaven? And they don't think in terms of the global scale. We have to be global. But today, I also want to share the individual, personal experience of that salvation of Jesus, who's the lover of my soul. Jesus, who sees me in the crowd. that he's not saving the crowd just as a crowd. He's saving the crowd because it is individual, focused on every person. And today it took a very, very, in some ways, insignificant turn. This is a woman in a small village who has spent 18 years with her head between her knees. She can't straighten up. And I have seen, you know, it's not a rare, it's a pretty rare thing, but I've seen people who were bent over that bad walking. 18 years. So whatever else the message of the Bible is, you better hang in there. Because God's really old and he moves slow. It's not going to happen to me. You know, and we live, I know people quit the church because they prayed for something for like 2 days and didn't get it, or 2 weeks. So I just can't do 18 years. And Jesus knew it because he says it. And so he straightens her out, and this is a real woman. I believe that if you went back there with a video camera, you would see this woman coming in all bent over, and you would see Jesus talking to her, and you would see her straighten up, and I believe she's a real person. But I also believe in terms of Scripture, she's a revelation symbol. And she's a symbol of each one of us bent over by life's burdens. We're just overwhelmed by, there's too many people need me. There's too many people demanding stuff. There's too many expectations. You know, and not everyone says, just do what I tell you to do. And the next one says, well, just do what I tell you to do. And it's constant, just being bombarded. And just to stress it, trying to be a good parent, a good spouse, a good friend, a good child, take care of my parents, take care of my kids, take care of the poor people I don't even know who just keep coming and coming and coming. You know, we're overwhelmed by stuff. And Jesus is here to cure each one of us, to heal each one of us in just the experiences, socially, spiritually, mentally, interactionally, of just being too overwhelmed. And then there's this great warning to the church. Now, this woman, this is a small village. Everybody knows who she is, right? They've been going to church together 18 years plus. And she gets healed. And the religious leader of the community is so overwhelmed with joy, he starts screaming at everyone. Like, why would anyone go to that church? And yet he's also revealing something about us, which is we have rules that we want people to abide by, all of us, including people who don't believe in rules, who want to abide by the rule of being rule-free. And they get all upset if someone's following. So inside of us, there's this little Nazi, Adolf Hitler, running around. No, 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 no. No one's getting healed here. None. No one's getting healed here. And this is not a debate about healing on Eucharist. It's about our healing on the Sabbath. It's about what's the true meaning of Sabbath. Jesus says it's to give life. That's a true rest is. And then he smacks us all. I didn't see this the first time I read it. He basically says you care more about your animals than you do other people. So I'm taking my life in my hands by saying this. I've been told by people of this church that what I need to understand is they view their chihuahua the same way I view my son. Well, that explains the world, doesn't it? And I'm not saying you can't love your pets. I'm not saying your chihuahua is not more lovable than my pet. What I'm saying is your dog is a dog and my son is a human being. My son carries the image of God. And for you to tell me my son is the moral equivalent of a dog means that if I go to Happy Acres over there when we go out of town and put him in one of them cages for a week, you think that's fine. And really, on a personal level, I mean, I don't care if you think my kid's the same as your dog. The reason it matters is because when you live in a world where Americans spend more on dog food than they do feeding the hungry, that's going to create problems. Now, please don't leave here crying and saying, he hates my dog, he hates my cat, he hates my parakeet. What Jesus is saying is, open your eyes. You know how much you'd love your dog? Take that as the starting place to care about other people in the world, especially people who are different races and different religions and different, you know, nationalities and are in need. see the humanity of those people. Okay, I'm going to baptize you. What we're doing in some ways is a cruel trick on this child. Because what we're telling God is she belongs to God. And as Jeremiah could tell you, belonging to God has its shadow side and downside. But your parents, you love your child and you want to give this gift to your child. And in the end, Jeremiah would tell you, it's tough, but it's worth it. So right now, we're going to baptize this child. And as we do that, I'm inviting you to renew your own commitments to Jesus Christ.